In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
It is morning, right? It's kind of early, I'm thinking, still. As we gather this morning, we're hearing from the Gospel according to Luke, and it's just this incredible story. In fact, we're hearing about some people that had been following Jesus as he was walking about the countryside from town to town, and he was healing and casting out demons, and they had come to the conclusion, this is the Messiah. This is the one God said would come and save us. Now, they kind of expected initially that they were going to get a warrior who was going to save them from the civil oppression that was over them, and they would be freed. Didn't really play out that way, did it? No, so not only did it not play out, but here this past week, as we've gone through Holy Week, this Jesus that they had been following had been arrested, falsely accused, so to speak, and crucified, and put into the tomb. This is what all of his followers had just witnessed. And the women had gone the next morning to anoint the body. And when they get there, it's empty. The tomb is empty. And in the midst of discovering this empty tomb, these two men, according to the Gospel of Luke, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. I don't know if that would have been my initial reaction. If I'd just shown up, the tomb was empty, the stone was gone, and there were two men that showed up in dazzling white, I may have actually run, which, by the way, takes a lot. It's not something I do often, and it's not something I take lightly. But they fell to the ground. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. He's not dead, but he has risen. Now we'll spend this whole Easter season with our little response back and forth, hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the thing. I mean, this is the thing for us as Christians. Without this, Jesus would have been maybe just a prophet and a healer. But with the resurrection, he's the Savior. He is this Messiah, and this is the day we remember that. This is the day we remember that he is our Savior. And these women have discovered that he's risen. These two dazzling figures have told them, don't you remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again? Don't you remember he told you that? And apparently they did. Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. And this was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the apostles. Now they just went back to a group of people who went through this whole horrific experience watching Jesus be put to death and laid in the tomb. And the women go out to the tomb, and now they come back with this story that we just heard. He's not there. These two men in dazzling clothes told us that, don't you remember what he said, that he would be crucified and then rise again? And they've come back to tell the story, and what's the response? But these words seem to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. An idle tale. Now that was a very strange term to me. Doesn't sound like the language we normally use. maybe more so at the right one service, but an idle tale. It's nonsense. The women came back and told this story, and they're like, that's nonsense. We don't believe what you're telling us. So, of course, Peter ran off to check it out. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus' followers at this time, even after going through all that they've been through, seeing all that he had done and all he was capable of doing, and even him telling them, this is what's going to be happening to me when we get back to Jerusalem, and then watching it happen, when they discover the empty tomb, they're still, sounds like nonsense. Well, brothers and sisters, still seems like nonsense to a lot of people in the world. Still does. That's okay. He's still our hope. He's still the hope for the world. And if you follow the news at all, you know we need that hope. Especially today. Especially today. And I know on a day like today, things are different here for me than any other Sunday. There's a lot more folks here. I just want you to know, I am so thrilled that you're here. I don't know how you got here. Well, that's not true. I know how you got here. The question is, do you know? And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, my parents told me I had to come. If I don't go to Easter service with Mom, there's no dinner. And then I got to feed the kids. I don't know how you got here or what you think brought you here, but I will tell you this. I learned something. I learned a few things after all my schooling. God moves first. God moves first. St. Augustine had a few things to say about it. God's grace. God's grace moving in you can be doing that when you don't even know it. So something, if you're wondering what it is, I will clarify for you. What brought you here today, if this is a place you come every week, or if it's a place you don't come to very often, or if it's the first time you ever came here, I will say to you, God's grace working in you brought you here. Now, I don't know if you know that yet. I know it. I just know it. And you've arrived on a really great day. We have a ton of flowers. Place looks pretty good. We go really crazy at the later serve with all kinds of music and singing and smoke. I mean, you should see it. It's quite a scene. But the thing you need to remember about all that, see, that's the liturgy. All of that is just a reflection and a celebration of what we know to be true, that he's risen this day. And we come together and we just go all out and celebrate it. You may be sorely disappointed if you came on just a regular Sunday, because we just don't go all out every Sunday. But so when you look around, you see all the things dressed up and everything's just so. Even the whole campus, we've literally spent weeks working on it. So it would just look spectacular because God gave us these things. And we want to care for them and we want to celebrate. And we celebrate by caring for them and by worshiping in a more celebratory way, which we were doing today. But it's all about the truth and the celebration of the truth. So what you see around you is the celebration. The truth is in here. The truth is the Word of God. Now, why does this matter so much to me today, you might ask? Well, I don't know if any of y'all ever been around a church in preparation for Holy Week. It takes about a month. And there is a lot of questions, and there's a lot of chaos in the office, and there is a lot of bulletins. A lot of them. And it doesn't matter what we do, we always end up with at least one or two mistakes in there, so no matter how many people look at them or the priest does something totally different than what's in there. So on my way here for our service last night, I'm driving and praying, which I think is okay. It's probably better for the other drivers, and it keeps me a little more holy than I would be normally. And as I'm driving here last night and praying, a lot of things happening in liturgy, Lord, help me get through it. I don't want to screw it up. And at that service, I actually chant. Oh yeah, you missed it. So I'm a little nervous about it, and this is my prayer. And then I just finally kind of decided maybe I'd listen to God. I know, unusual. And he says to me, sing your praises to me, Brian. But don't forget to preach the word to them. Preach the word to them. So brothers and sisters, here it is. God, the creator of all things, came into creation in the form of a man, walked this earth fully human, fully divine, among his sinful people, us, who just couldn't get close enough to him for our lives to be transformed to the level he wanted us to be transformed. So he came to us. The creator of all things came to his people. He could have called us to him, but he chose to come to us. And he paid the price for our sins on the cross. And he rose from the grave. So that we, through our baptism, can die with him and rise in him. Amen? Amen? So that we can be free of our pain and our sorrows. We can be free of our insecurities. We can be free of the things of this world that try to hold us down. Not just sometime in the future when we get to heaven. I'm talking right now. On that cross, Jesus Christ instituted his kingdom. And that time is now. We can live that now. Each and every one of us, I pray, will leave here today with a sense of something within us that's a little bit different. We're going to have a peace about us. It happens when we gather together as God's people and bring our worship to him. And I would say to you, there's still more. There is so much more. And he calls us to it. He calls us to him, and through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God and be all that he created us to be. Jesus is Lord was the cry of the church. Jesus is Lord. I'm overwhelmed by what I see in the world. Maybe you haven't seen the news yet. People like us, off the coast of India, gathered to worship God, lost their lives. Keeps happening. I've looked to the world for truth, comfort, and peace. It offers none. I've looked to the world for healing, for my soul to be healed, for my heart to be filled with joy, and the world can't give it. The truth is in his word. We celebrate it today. We celebrate today. that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, he indwells each and every one of us so that we can walk out the kingdom that he has initiated today. The world needs Jesus. The world needs his church. So this day, we give thanks to God that Christ is risen. Tomorrow, let's tell somebody else. Amen.